Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's why.
What happened to you? You disappeared. And all that's left you, your eyeballs flare.
Kicking off the show right there, that is local group Little Sprout with Alien Boyfriend off of their self-titled album, and they are a ton of fun there. And the show you are listening to right now is Intersections here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish Musqueam Territory here at the beautiful University of British Columbia campus. My name is Mel Woods, this year's Gender Empowerment Collective Coordinator, and I, along with a rad group of fabulous CITR volunteers, help produce this program every week, bringing you great intersectional feminist current affairs from around UBC, around Vancouver, and around the Lower Mainland in general. It's tons of fun. And we have a great show for you today. Today we are going to be featuring some music picks, some local music picks from one of our volunteers, Hannah, as well as a bit that Hannah produced around the upcoming Vagina Monologues event, which is happening here at UBC this weekend. Hannah's actually participating in it, and so she had the chance to sit down with some of her fellow performers. We have a few performances of the monologues and conversation kind of around the event about the original play, about how it's changed over the years and all sorts of things. So that's going to be really, really great. And then we're going to end off the program where I'm going to give a little bit of information about the annual Women's Memorial March, which is happening in the downtown East Side tomorrow. So jam-packed show. There's going to be lots of good stuff to go. Lots of tunes today, which is a fun way to bring us into Reading Week here at UBC and at CITR. And so we're going to get those going, and then we'll hop back with Hannah's Vagina Monologues feature bit model, interview extravaganza. And just a heads up, folks, there's a few words in there that may not be always open for the little ears. So a bit of a warning on that. But we're going to listen to another song before that. And the one we're going to listen to is from Anybody's. The track is called Not Scared off of the album of the same name. And it's going to be a good one here on Intersections. And we will be back in a bit.
Presents Ethereal Shadowland, their first official Vancouver reading. They will be featuring the poignant voices of Metatron and Vancouver-based poets. Come listen to the poetic musings of Adele Barclay, Asia Moore, Ashley Obscura, Brad Casey, Ivana Bezanovsky, Leah Horlick, and Chazia Hafiz Ramji at Paperhound on Tuesday, February 13th at 7 p.m. Boost your resume by studying abroad and get that dream job. Don't miss the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Sunday, February 25th at the Vancouver Convention Center. Admission is free, and if you come early, you can catch our feature seminar on scholarships. For more information, check out our website, www.studyandgoabroad.com.
Yeah. My vagina's angry. It is. It's pissed off. My vagina's furious and it needs to talk. It needs to talk about all this shit. It needs to talk to you. I mean, what's the deal? An army of people out there thinking up ways to torture my poor ass, gentle, loving vagina, spending their days constructing psycho products and nasty ideas to undermine my pussy. Vagina motherfuckers. All this shit they're constantly trying to shove up us, clean us up, stuff us up, make it go away? Well, my vagina's not going away. It's pissed off and it's staying right here. Like tampons. What the hell is that? A wad of dry fucking cotton stuffed up there. Why can't they find a way to subtly lubricate the tampon? As soon as my vagina sees it, it goes into shock. It says forget it. It closes up. You need to work with the vagina, introduce it to things, prepare the way. That's what foreplay's all about. You've got to convince my vagina, seduce my vagina, engage my vagina's trust. You can't do that with a dry wad of fucking cotton.
Hello, we are five members of the cast and crew of UBC's production of The Vagina Monologues 2018. My name is Hannah Toms. I'm a cast member performing in Introduction, Lists, and They Beat the Girl Out of My Boy.
I am Mickey, and I am performing the Vagina Workshop in The Vagina Monologues.
I'm Zainab, and my monologue is Reclaiming C-U-N-T.
I'm Nicole, and I'm the stage manager.
I'm Michaela Gerwing, and I'm the director. So for those of you that don't know, The Vagina Monologues is a play written by Eve Ensler in the 90s, and it's performed globally every year around Valentine's Day to raise awareness and to help end violence against women. So we're going to give you a sneak peek of our show that's happening on February 17th and 18th in the Frederick Wood Theater at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6. Tickets are available online or at the door. We're going to give you a little taste of our show with Mickey performing part of our piece, Vagina Workshop.
In the first session, the woman who runs the Vagina Workshop asked us to draw a picture of our own unique, beautiful, fabulous vagina. That's what she called it. She wanted to know what our own unique, beautiful, fabulous vagina looked like to us. One woman who was pregnant drew a big red mouth, screaming with coins spilling out. Another very skinny woman drew a big serving plate with a kind of Devonshire pattern on it. I drew a huge black dot with little squiggly lines around it. The black dot was equal to a black hole in space, and the squiggly lines were meant to be people or things or just your basic atoms that got lost there. I had always thought of my vagina as an anatomical vacuum, randomly sucking up particles and objects from the surrounding environment. I did not think of my vagina in practical or biological terms. I did not, for example, see it as something attached to me. In the workshop, we were asked to look at our vaginas with hand mirrors. Then, after careful examination, we were to verbally report to the group what we saw. I must tell you that, up until this point, everything I knew about my vagina was based on hearsay or invention. I had never really seen the thing. It had never occurred to me to look at it. My vagina existed for me on some abstract plane. It seemed so reductive and awkward looking at it, like we were in the workshop on our shiny blue mats with our hand mirrors. It reminded me of how the early astronomers must have felt with their primitive telescopes. I found it quite unsettling at first, my vagina. Like the first time you see a fish cut open and you discover this other bloody complex world inside right under the skin. It was so raw, so red, so fresh. And the thing that surprised me most was all the layers. Layers inside layers, opening into more layers. My vagina amazed me. I couldn't speak when it came my turn in the workshop. I was speechless. I had awakened to what the woman who ran the workshop called vaginal wonder. I just wanted to lay there on my mat, legs spread, examining my vagina forever.
So now we're going to move on to a discussion between the five of us, and the theme around which our discussion is going to revolve is a very large concept in third wave feminism, which is intersectionality. And Zainab is going to read us a definition of the word intersectionality.
So this definition is from YW Boston. Intersectionality was coined by law professor and social theorist Kimberlé Crenshaw. And basically, intersectional theory asserts that people are often disadvantaged by multiple sources of oppression, such as race, class, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, and others. And intersectionality recognizes that these identity markers do not exist independently of each other, and that each informs the others, often creating a complex convergence of oppression.
So, The Vagina Monologues was written by Eve Ensler during the 1960s, the 1970s?
The
90s. The 90s. Okay, I thought it was much earlier than that. But in the 90s, that still would have been part of second-wave feminism. And something that second-wave feminism, as much as it was an incredible and important movement, something that's being criticized about it today, now that we're in third-wave feminism, is that it was very much a white and cis movement. And relating to the definition that Zainab just read, third wave feminism is intersectional feminism, and it draws on not just the perspective of privileged women. And something we're going to talk about is that the Vagina Monologues itself has been heavily criticized for being quite exclusive toward especially the trans community.
Vagina Monologues in itself is criticized because we use the word vagina. What we now recognize as part of third wave feminism, that vagina isn't synonymous with being a woman. You don't have to have a vagina to be a woman. And I think that's a big part of why the Vagina Monologues has been criticized so much. But even so, it is still an important piece to keep doing on a year-by-year basis.
What's great about the Vagina Monologues is that Eve Ensler brings new works to the play. So hopefully, I'm hoping that the Vagina Monologues will start to evolve over the years and to include those different identities and also include more discussion in regards to the openness in defining what a woman can be.
While there are some pieces with issues in the show, there are also a lot of pieces that remain very relevant to today. So while we are in a different wave of feminism and have different definitions of what a woman is and what a feminist is, a lot of things and a lot of issues that we're still dealing with are the same. Sexual violence is still a major issue in our society. The show draws a light on that, and I think it's very important that the show continues to happen, that we continue to have these discussions, like this discussion we're having here about intersectionality and the problems with the show, so that we can take the good parts and leave what's maybe problematic.
And that's a beautiful thing about theater. We're offering a discussion. We're opening the stage up to you and asking you to leave and reflect on what you've seen. Not only are we asking you to reflect, but to bring people who you believe need that reflection and need to open up to this new wave of feminism. We'll be hosting, Mikhail will be hosting talkbacks after each of our shows on the 17th and 18th to further discuss and answer any questions you have about anything you see on our stage.
As a woman of color, I recognize the importance of promoting inclusivity and a more intersectional feminism so that we can include all women. And I'm hoping that during the talkback discussion portion at the end of the play, we'll have some good discussion around any issues with the play and promoting a more inclusive, intersectional form of feminism.
What's really cool about our production is that we have a Women's March theme going on. So where the play itself may be lacking intersectional recognition, we're incorporating a lot of posters in our Women's March segments that address intersectionality, which is really cool.
Yeah, and we also gave the opportunity to all the cast to discuss a lot of different elements in this. We have a director. She's been amazing at acknowledging that we're a diverse group who needs to all equally have our voice heard. We're incorporating many chants within the transitions that are acknowledging all the things we've been speaking about in this interview.
Yeah, and we spent a lot of time actually talking about those chants. They weren't just kind of picked. A lot of thought was put into them about the different perspectives of the different people who are going to be hearing these chants and different ways that they might be interpreted by people, and making sure that they're inclusive and inoffensive to anyone who might hear them. For example, one of the chants that we came up with for one of the transitions and that's been really popular at women's marches is Pussy Grabs Back, kind of in response to Donald Trump's grab her by the pussy. But then we ended up actually taking it out of the transitions because Pussy Grabs Back kind of implies a violent gesture, like grabbing sounds violent and almost has kind of a sexual violent connotation.
Yeah, almost like you're going to degrade us or we're going to degrade you right back. And mm-hmm. that's not what we're doing here. We're not trying to objectify the opposite sex because they're objectifying us.
I mean, what we're trying to do is, you know, recognize that we can all have equality. To give some more rights is not going to take anything away from another person.
I think it's something that's very misinterpreted about feminism, and something that drives a lot of men off feminism is that it's perceived as trying to like reverse the balance of power that we have in this patriarchal society that we live in to make women superior in society's eyes to men, which is not and really not what feminism is about. Feminism is about promoting equality across all gender identities.
I think another important thing to mention is equality versus equity, and something intersectionality is fighting for is equity, because equality is when you're just evening the playing field, like giving women more opportunities, but equity is when we're recognizing every intersection and we're recognizing that people of color have less opportunities and that indigenous people and indigenous women in particular in this country are really struggling and are facing much more barriers than I am as a cis white woman. And I think that striving to create equity is what we're really doing here with this piece.
In our rehearsals, we have quite a lot of workshops, and it kind of makes me sad almost that audience members who come and see our show only see the show. They don't see everything, all the activities that go on behind the scenes, like during our rehearsals and all the discussions that I've learned so much. Like, my horizons have been so opened by these workshops. But one that we did, I think it was during the first ever rehearsal, we did what's called a privilege walk. Do you maybe want to explain this one, Michaela?
Yeah, I'll explain this one. So when I'm planning rehearsals, I try and do a mix of workshops that have to do with feminism and equity and intersectionality, and also acting workshops. So in our very first rehearsal, we did a privilege walk. I had all the women line up in the room, and then I asked a series of questions and had people take a step forward or take a step back if they had experienced that. So some of the questions would be, have you ever skipped a meal because you couldn't afford one? Did you ever feel like you struggled to go to school because you couldn't afford it? All these different things, not necessarily just money, but just a range of questions that took into account different intersections of identity. And then at the end of the walk, the women took a look around the room and saw where they were in relation to everyone else. And I think that was a really powerful experience for a lot of the people, because I think it's easy to forget our privilege in life. And I think it's easy to forget how privileged we are, and that other people around us, we don't even know, but people have all different struggles. And I think it's important to really recognize our own privilege.
What was really incredible that Alex, our president, who unfortunately isn't here to chat about, noticed by watching everyone do so. And it was really sad to notice the one thing we did all have in common was, even today, we all felt like at one point in our life, we had been discriminated against because we're a woman, because of our identity. We have built this amazing community, and that's exactly what we're trying to work against.
I have learned so much in this experience. We have so many different individuals in our cast with different races, sexuality, and gender expressions, and different religions, and people from all different walks of life. And throughout this experience, we have all learned so much about intersectionality. And this production is so special because we're able to kind of share what we have learned with the audience and get everybody talking about what can still be done, and get people to maybe think a bit more about how intersectionality affects them and the people around them, because it is so important.
This year's production does incorporate things that haven't been incorporated before at UBC V-Day. So even if you've seen the vagina monologues in a past year, what we're doing here this year is different, and there is new things and there's new conversations to be had. So even if you've seen this production before, don't let that discourage you from coming, because there's still so much that you can take away from this show.
And if you haven't seen it too, I'm not just saying this because I'm in the play and I'm promoting. Well, that's that's why we're here, but that's not the only reason I want people to come, because being in the show, I've seen every monologue more times than I can count at this point, but every single time I see each one, I'm so moved and so inspired. Like, there's such a strong, inspiring, sometimes funny, sometimes sad, sometimes sexy message between every single monologue, and I really want people to experience that. There's so much that people who are already hardcore feminists can get out of this play. There's so many people who, you know, haven't been exposed to feminism before can get out of this play. There's so many people who are against feminism, who unfortunately exist, can get out of this play, and hopefully have their minds changed about gender equality. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap it up.
I just want to give a reminder, our show dates are February 17th and 18th in the Frederick Wood Theater. Our social media, Facebook and Instagram, you can find us at UBC V-Day. Tickets are available online and at the door. Doors open at 6 and the shows are at 7, February 17th and 18th in the Frederick Wood Theater. All proceeds are going to be donated to SASC, the Sexual Assault Support Center on campus, and the Battered Women's Shelter in Vancouver.
This is how I came to love my vagina. It's embarrassing because it's not politically correct. I mean, I know it should have happened in the bath with salt grains from the Dead Sea, Enya playing and me loving my woman self. I know the story. Vaginas are beautiful. Our self-hatred is only the internalized repression and hatred of the patriarchal culture. It isn't real. Pussies unite. I know all of it. Like, if we'd grown up in a culture where we were taught that fat thighs were beautiful, we'd all be pounding back milkshakes and Krispy Kremes, laying on our backs, spending our days thigh expanding. But we didn't grow up in that culture. I hated my thighs, and I hated my vagina even more. I thought it was incredibly ugly. I was one of those women who had looked at it, and from that moment on, I wished I hadn't. It made me sick. I pitied anyone who had to go down there. In order to survive, I started to pretend there was something else between my legs. I imagined comfy futons with light cotton comforters, little velvet satays, leopard rugs, pretty things, like a silk handkerchief or quilted pot holders or play settings. I grew so accustomed to this that I lost all memory of even having a vagina. Whenever I had sex with a man, I imagined him inside of a mink-lined muffler or a Chinese bowl. Then I met Ben. Ben was the most ordinary man I had ever met. He was thin and tall and nondescript and wore khaki tan clothes. He didn't like spicy foods or listen to Prince. He had no interest in sexy lingerie. In the summer, he spent his time in the shade. He didn't share his inner feelings. He didn't have any problems or issues. And he wasn't even an alcoholic. He wasn't very funny or articulate or mysterious. He wasn't mean or unavailable. He wasn't self-absorbed or charismatic. He didn't drive fast. I mean, I didn't particularly like Ben. I mean, I would have missed him altogether if he hadn't picked up the change that I dropped on the deli floor. But when he handed me back my quarters and pennies, and his hand accidentally touched mine, something happened.
Prominent and public calls for justice and demands for further investigation, efforts to force a public inquiry have stalled. Either way, an inquiry might not end. answer why as many as 1,000 indigenous women have gone missing.
There's a crisis of missing and murdered indigenous women in this country that has become a national tragedy.
The scale of the crisis has been clear for years. Hundreds of indigenous women were murdered or missing in Canada. A haunting national disgrace with no solution in sight.
I'm looking for my sister. Where did she go? Where did she go? Why? I'm looking for my sister. Where did she go? Where did she go? Why? I wanna walk the highway. I wanna walk the alleys and the streets. I wanna walk the whole damn world. I wanna walk the highway. I wanna walk the alleys and the streets. I wanna walk the whole damn world. I'm looking for my sister. Where did she go? Where did she go? Why?
I'm missing and murdered indigenous women in this country that has become a national tragedy.
Oh, how I miss you so much. I still can't believe that you're gone. Feels like a huge piece of me's been torn. I'm ripping me from my chest. I can't breathe when I think about it. I miss your smile, miss your laugh. I miss our on a powwow trail. And now all I feel is a trail of tears, a trail of fear. What could have gone wrong? And hoping that you're safe. I wanna go door to door. My eyes are too sore from all the tears that drop. My heart drops, and every time I think about you and where you could be, this is for the weight to carry on my chest. For the mothers and the daughters who get no rest. And this is for the loved ones in the family. We want you close, we want to hold you close, we want you back the most. And this is for my sisters who were stolen in the night. For the ones who were hustling and fighting for their lives. It cuts to the soul, but it has me wondering, oh, where did she go? Oh, where did she go?
I'm looking for my sister. Where did she go? Where did she go? Why? I'm looking for my sister. Where did she go? Where did she go? Why? I wanna walk the highways. I wanna walk the alleys and the streets. I wanna walk the whole damn world. I wanna walk the highway. I wanna walk the alleys and the streets. I wanna walk the whole damn world. I'm looking for my sister. Where did she go? Where did she go? Why? Why no sense of urgency? Why no state emergency? Should have been caught when it was 2 or 3. 100 to 1,000, can you feel me? Governments criminalize indigenous men and blame them and then say it's not hot on our radar. How far will you let it slide? Just another form of genocide. That's right, I'm calling you out. I know what this is all about. You want the land, so now we stand. We stand up, fist up. Warrior song makes us strong.
Thank you. beast is born and a devil's in hell. Hearts, they shrink, pockets swell. Everybody know and nobody tell. Little wheel spin and spin, big wheels turn around and around. Little wheel spin and spin, big wheels turn around and around. All the sins of Caesar's men, cry the pious citizens. Oh, petty thieves, the five and tens. Then the big wheels turn around and around. Little wheel spin and spin, big wheel turn around. Blame the fates, blame the Jews or your sister Kate. Teach your children how to hate, and the big wheels turn around and around. Little wheel spin and spin, big wheel turn around and around. Little wheel spin and spin, big wheel turn around and around. Turn your back on weeds you've hoed, silly sinful seeds you've sowed. Add your straw to the camel's load. Pray like hell when your world explode. Little wheel, spin and spin, big wheels turn around and around. Little wheel, spin and spin, big wheels turn around and around. Swing your girl, fiddler say, later on a piper pay. Do-si-do, swing and sway, dead will dance on Judgment Day. Little wheel, spin and spin, big wheel turn around and around. Spin and spin, big wheels turn around and around. Little wheels spin and spin, big wheels turn around and around. Little wheels spin and spin, big wheel turn around and around.
And fading out right there, that was a little bit of Buffy St. Marie. Little Wheel Spin and Spin off of Medicine Songs. And before that, we heard the live recording that the collective actually took when we were down at the Women's March On event a couple weeks ago of JB, the First Lady, with her track Sisters. And the reason I played those tracks here is to kind of in the back half of the program today, following that really great conversation that Hannah and the cast of the Vagina Monologues had, it was really interesting to hear all their different perspectives on kind of the intersectionality of the event. And reminder that is happening this weekend. If any of you folks want to go check it out, it's sure to be good. I participated in the Vagina Monologues way back in the day, back in my first year of undergrad. And I did the one that they actually had a reading of in there with the mirror on the yoga mat and everything. And somewhere off on the internet, there's a photo of me with a mirror looking down downtown, which was fun times. But to my original point, in the back half of the program today, we're going to be talking a bit about the Women's Memorial Valentine's March, which is happening tomorrow in the downtown east side here in Vancouver. And to kind of commemorate, honor that, I'm also going to be featuring some music from Indigenous women in this back half of the program for your Tuesday afternoon here, and to kind of highlight the experiences of Indigenous women. Because I'm not Indigenous. I'm a settler. So we'll be highlighting some of their music and talking a bit about the event that's happening tomorrow. So we're going to play another song, and then I'll be back with some information about the march that's happening tomorrow. And next up, we're actually going to hear a little bit from Chris Dirksen, who is one of my favorite Indigenous artists in Canada. She's half Cree, and she's kind of revolutionized something that she likes to call orchestral powwow, which is some really cool cello work. I saw her at the Calgary Folk Music Festival last summer. It was amazing. So we're going to hear her track called Missing Mom right here on Intersections. Yeah.
Born out of an initiative to give more voice to local women artists and musicians, Mixtapes is a Vancouver-based biannual mixtape featuring women-identified musicians and sound artists from the Pacific Northwest. The Spring 2018 edition will be coming out on May 10th, with all proceeds going to the Downtown Eastside Women's Shelter. Women-identified artists are invited to send their submissions to btchtapes@gmail.com. The release fundraiser will be held on May 10th at the Redgate Review Stage, featuring artists selected for this edition of the cassette.
So you're a member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 with discounts on Commercial Drive at
Audio Pile, High Life Records, Mintage, People's Co-op Bookstore, Stormcrow Tavern, The Rio Theater, JQ Clothing Limited, and Bone Rattle Music Limited.
Keep blowing.
And fading out in the background there, that's Iskwe with The Storm off the album The Fight Within. Before that, we heard a little bit of an orchestral powwow. That was Chris Dirksen. The track was Missing Mom. And the show you're listening to right now is Intersections here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish Musqueam territory. My name is Mel Woods, this year's Gender Empowerment Collective Coordinator. And as promised, right now I'm going to give you a little bit of information about the Downtown Eastside Women's Memorial March, which is happening tomorrow, February 14th. The timing of it worked out, so the collective probably won't be able to make it there to cover it, but I really encourage all of you out there in Radioland to go and engage with what has been a very important march in this city and this country for over 25 years. And so, yeah, tomorrow, Wednesday, February 14th, and the march itself will start at noon. There's a gathering of community members and family at 10:30 a.m. That one's not open to the public. And do be respectful of that, you know. I'm a journalist, and often as journalists, we're taught to, you know, barge in and all that kind of thing. It's like, this is a moment of respect out there. A bit of history. The first Women's Memorial March was held in 1992 in response to the murder of a woman on Powell Street in Vancouver. And out of this community anger at this kind of came this idea to express compassion, community, and caring for all the women in Vancouver's Downtown East Side. I'm taking a lot of this information from their Facebook event. I encourage you guys to go check it out. And it continues, even now, 25 years later, to honor the lives of missing and murdered Indigenous women and all women's lives lost in the Downtown East Side. And it is draw attention to this kind of increasing problem in Vancouver, in the Downtown East Side, and in Canada as a whole. The marches have spread kind of across Canada since then. They did start here in Vancouver, though. I remember attending the marches in Calgary back when I was living there. So on Wednesday, February 14th, they'll gather at 10:30 a.m. at the Carnegie Community Center, where family members will speak in remembrance. And again, the broader public is welcome to come join at noon, when the march will take the streets and proceed through the Downtown East Side, with stops to commemorate where women were last seen or found, speeches by community activists, a healing circle at Oppenheimer Park around 2:30 p.m., and then there will be a community feast at the Japanese Language Hall. And this whole event is organized and led by Downtown Eastside women, because women, and especially Indigenous women, face a lot of barriers. And we talk about that a lot here in Vancouver, about kind of what's going on the Downtown Eastside. I think sometimes everybody always says, you know, what can I do? Things like this are a way of doing it. If you're a settler, there's a way of doing it and acknowledging it and knowing your place. And so as they've kind of listed out on their website, there's a few different ways to support. You can attend the march. All genders are welcome. All people are welcome. And they encourage folks to not bring, you know, your agency or group banners or leaflets, because this is meant to honor the women themselves. So they welcome signs that honor women's lives. They also encourage folks to know the protocol, that there will be the family and community remembrance, and then the media and broader public can begin to gather around 11:30 a.m. in front of Maiden Hastings, and there will be a welcome from elders, and everybody will make a circle for prayer, and then the march will proceed at noon when the elders and family members have exited the theater after the prayer circle. This is organized and led by women, and the women elders carrying medicines are at the front, followed by the women elders and family members and women drummers, and then behind that comes everyone else. They'll stop in a lot of different places on the way. They're also still looking for volunteers, I think, and so if you want to volunteer to help out with the march, in terms of setup, cleanup, and whatnot, head to their website for a little bit more information on that. And they also are taking donations. So if you take, all of their donations will be supporting the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, so that's also really important. You can mail them to the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, and they'll also be taking them at the march. So lots of different ways to help out. It's an annual event. It's an important event, and it's important to kind of acknowledge the crisis that's happening in this country in terms of missing and murdered Indigenous women. And, I mean, we're specifically kind of a gender issues show here, but in general, I think it goes without saying with the Colton Bushi, Gerard Stanley trial this weekend that there's a lot of work yet to be done here in Canada, and I think we all need to start stepping up and acknowledging that. It's important. So that's where I'm at on that, Radioland. And so again, February 14th, tomorrow at noon, Maining Hastings will be this year's Women's Memorial March in the Downtown East Side. I encourage you all to go check it out. Hopefully the weather's all right, and hopefully it will be a powerful experience for you if you attend. I know all the marches I've attended in the past have always been very powerful and reflective experiences, that is for sure. And with that, we are coming to the end of the program today, Radioland. It's been a jam-packed one again. Thanks to Hannah for all of the work with the Vagina Monologues segment and all of the women for speaking with us for that. And hopefully you guys got some great new tunes out of today. A little bit of info. Hopefully you turn up to the march tomorrow. Or you go to the Vagina Monologues show happening this weekend at UBC. More information about that online. And we will be back. We're going to take actually a week hiatus for the reading break next week. So you'll hear some good old classics from Intersections. But we'll be back 2 weeks later with all sorts of fresh new content for your listening pleasure as we bring ourselves towards the end of what has been another great school year. I'm sure about that. But as we go, we're going to listen to one more great track made by great Indigenous women. Of course, I'd be remiss to not include Tanya Tagaq in this playlist. Again, saw her live at the Calgary Folk Fest last summer, and I think a lot of people describe Tanya Tagaq live as being transcendental, almost like a religious experience. And I definitely felt that sitting on the grass in an outdoor field with her doing her thing. It's just amazing, everything that she does. So we're going to listen to her track called Caribou off of Animism here on Intersections. Into the Woods is up next here on CITR. Stay tuned. I know there's going to be some good Sled Island treats. See you next time, Radioland.